Good morning, 6:01. It just clicked over on July 30th, Monday. And I got my grades filed last night, late, but I did it yesterday. So life is good. Class is over. Probably the last one I'll ever teach. I think I've got the microphone so it's not banging against my collar today. Cool is the rule, but sometimes bad is just bad. I was listening to Coverville's Huey Lewis cover story, and the song that I just turned off was Bad is Bad. Cool is the rule, but sometimes bad is bad. Funny the things that stick in your mind. That's one of them. The other thing I'm thinking about is, I don't know if I've mentioned this here before, but memoir, and I don't know why, but, Brand Gamblin suggested that I write a memoir, and I'm like, seriously? Dude, you gotta be kidding me. And he and Allie were both quite adamant that, you ought to write a memoir. Tell the story of your life. It's like, well, who cares, really? I mean, when it comes down to it, really, who cares? What does it matter? And then, of course, now the idea is stuck in my head, and I can't seem to shake it. And I'm trying to figure out, what would I put in it? And even if I don't write it, just thinking about what would I put in it? What stories would I tell? And what stories would I tell on myself? Would I be Ishmael Wong and only tell part of the story? Sort of a first person narrative of me. It's like, gosh, I don't know. I talk about remembering as far back as I can remember, which is actually quite shocking. Because I don't really understand how I can remember it. But one of the earliest memories was this naval thing. And I remember being in a kind of a flat, sort of, I don't know what it was, but I had this belly button thing that I kept picking at. And I had this memory for a long, long time. It was one of the very first memories that I had, and it always made me curious as to what the hell was going on. And only later did I realize that, real or not, I don't know for sure. I can't really say for certain, but that was when I was an infant. And it was the naval umbilicus. It's kind of gross. Anyway, so yeah, I got memories that go way, 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 way back, almost as far as I go back. I actually have a memory that my mother swears I can't possibly have, and that's of my grandfather delivering the first washer, because we didn't have a dryer in those days, but we grew up on, we started out in a little cottage on the south shore of Little Sebago Lake in Windham. And I remember being in that place, jumping off the porch into the snow, up to my chest. Of course, my chest was only about a foot and a half off the ground, so that was one of the issues. But at one point in my early teens, I was talking to my mother about, early memories and stuff. And she I said, I remember the first washer. I remember Grant bringing it. And she said, really? And I said, yeah, it was in the back of some weird kind of truck thing. And he opened the back door, and there's a washer in there, and he and Dad muscled it out. I don't remember really what it looked like, but I remember it was the first. I remember it being delivered, and it was a big deal. And my mother was a little curious about that. I'm pretty sure she was mistaken, because I really do remember it. And she said, well, how can you remember that? It's like, I don't know. You know, it's just, I remember lots of stuff about living at the lake. And she said, you weren't born yet. Which is a little disconcerting, when you think about it. You weren't born yet. But that was definitely how he delivered it. And whether I heard the story later and then my brain built the pictures around it and make me think it's a memory, I don't know. There's lots of things that I have questions about in terms of my memories. That's one of them. And then we left there and moved to an early American farmhouse, 1823, I think was the date on the original build. It had logs for floor joists and cut stone foundation in a root cellar that was not quite 6 feet tall, 6 feet deep. So it was a very shallow cellar. It was interesting. It was an interesting house, and I spent we moved there when I was four, because it was on the bus route, so I could get to school. And the little house that we were living in at Little Sebago was a mile or something from the bus route, and it wasn't going to work out very well. So, yeah, grew up on Dutton Hill from the time I was five until the time I was 17 and left to go into the Coast Guard. And lots of weird stuff happened. High school was a trip. Kindergarten was amusing. I never really could figure out quite what the whole point of kindergarten was, because they tried to teach me the colors, but I already knew them. They tried to teach me to read, and I could already read. Reading aloud was a bit of a problem, but I could read. I could read for comprehension quite well. I started at school early because my birthday fell before the cutoff. So I turned five in October 12th, and the cutoff was like October 22nd. So I was just barely able to get into that class. There was half a dozen of us who had the same birth date, or within a month or two of each other right there, September and October. So it was, you know, elementary school was strange. Actually, I remember some guy, before we started school, we used to come to the house, and I don't remember what his name was or what he had us doing, but he gave us little puzzles to solve, to work on. Apparently that was some sort of preschool intelligence test. I'm not exactly sure why I was being tested. My sister remembers this too, because she was also part of this deal. I don't really understand what it was about, but he came back several times. Hi. Good morning. So he'd come back several times, and part of it was organizing blocks, and some of them was moving pegs. And I don't remember what they all were. But it's curious. We had a milkman who would deliver chocolate milk. Morning. Back before we started getting whole milk from the farm, there's a couple of farms in the neighborhood that did milk. And it wasn't homogenized milk. It wasn't, probably wasn't even pasteurized. It was probably raw milk. And we went through it like it was water. We just went through so much milk. Now my sister lives in that neighborhood where we used to get milk and has a dairy farm. And she doesn't sell milk. She sells cheese. Not cheese, butter. She sells butter and eggs. But the state got kind of testy with her about not having a stainless steel milk room. Okay. I think a lot of family farms ran into that kind of big business kind of threshold, so that when they couldn't come up with the investment necessary to move into the new regulatory environment, they had to close. They had to stop doing business. They had to go find something else to do. Junior high school was middle school now, but back in the day we called it junior high because we were being prepared to go to high school. It was something that we all understood, and I think that's one of the things that middle school doesn't really quite grasp. There's the elementary school, one through K through five, and then there's this middle school thing that we called junior high. And I remember being on the bus and riding to sixth grade thinking, wow, junior high, three more years I'm going to be in the high school. And then three more years later, being on the bus as a freshman, one of the named classes. I was a member of the freshman class. That seemed like such a big deal. It was really such a disappointment. High school should have been 1965. High school kind of sucked for anybody who wasn't, particularly in my school, if you didn't play basketball, because basketball was the game at my school. So everybody has, I think everybody has a sport. In my school, it was basketball. And a lot of people in Maine play basketball because it's during the school year, which is in the winter, and playing outside sports in the winter in Maine is an iffy proposition. There's not generally enough snow early enough to make it worthwhile, and not generally enough good weather long enough to make it worthwhile. Although I was on the tennis team. Tennis team played in the spring. And I remember going out, freezing my ass off. Early in the spring. And then baking my butt towards the end of the season. I was a bench warmer. I think I played one game, lost horribly. Yeah, I wasn't a sportsman. But I also didn't play basketball. Since I didn't play basketball, I wasn't one of the jocks. Since I wasn't one of the jocks, I wasn't cool. And of course, not being a girl, I couldn't be a cheerleader. So, yeah, that was welcome to Geeksville. And that was pretty harsh. Particularly some of the upperclassmen. So, learning to deal with that was an interesting challenge. Then when I graduated from high school, I was like fifth in the class, 170, I think. I'd been 107, I don't know. I wasn't, you know, I was near the top. I never could get my act together to actually pay that much attention to it, really give that much a damn about most of it, so I just sort of coasted. And then the Coast Guard kind of snapped me around. Because in the Coast Guard, it doesn't matter. It must have meant. Went to boot camp. Tried to do the best job I could. Had a lot of experiences there, floating offshore. I used to get sick. This is after having been on a fishing boat and worked offshore for years in the summers. First time I got underway on a Coast Guard cutter. Locked in a radio room, so it's like 80 degrees, which is nice in the winter, kind of sucked in the summer. But 80 degrees and rolling back and forth. And I was strapped in a seat. So as the ship rolled, I rolled. And it pretty much never failed. We kept plastic bags lining the trash can next to the wash station because pretty much all of us got sick first day underway. It was okay once I had a nap. Like if I didn't have to have the first watch, I could generally escape. But because I was junior, I almost always had the first watch. That's quite a lack of honor. It was one of those things. I really didn't understand being in the military. It was not something that I grew up with or around. So for me, it was a lot of the fish out of water kind of stuff that Ishmael goes through in his books, I think. They don't really prepare you for shut up and do it. Even when you can't do it physically, you don't know how. You don't have the knowledge, let alone the skill, to do it. It's an interesting challenge. So I floated offshore during the Lobster War, 1970. 70 to 71. Was it 71 to 72? 72, I went to Kodiak. Spent 18 months at Kodiak Island. That was fun. It was one of those odd times where you knew one of my buddies, I think it was Steve Rockwood, who used to say, "We're going to look back on these days as the good old days. As much as we hate them now, these are going to be the days we remember." And he was right. I recently got in contact with one of the guys that I went to radio school with. It was that radio school was on Governor's Island in New York Harbor. They moved it to Petaluma, California shortly after I graduated. So that was an interesting time too. Spent, I guess it was 6 months living in New York City. New York City is an interesting place. I like New York City a lot. And I liked it when I was living on Governor's Island, and I could take the ferry over and then go into town and be in New York, and then take the ferry back to Governor's Island and be in a relatively pastoral sort of park-like environment. So it was fun. I spent a lot of time at the Museum of Natural History. I didn't spend anywhere near enough time at the Museum of Modern Art. I'm trying to remember if it was actually there at the time. When I was there, they were just building the towers. I used to see them building while we were having breakfast. Oh, well, oh look, I'm at the back gate. Thanks for going with me down a stroll on memory lane. But tomorrow's another day, and I'll talk to you then.